Once in a while, we have to remind ourselves that we shouldn't give up. And I want to talk to you this morning about this. I want to talk to me this morning about not giving up. It's not the smartest people that make it in life. It's not necessarily the most talented, the most popular, the most richest people. But it's the ones that never give up. I remember there's a famous saying by Winston Churchill when World War II was raging and it looked very bad for England. He made a statement and he just aroused the crowds with this statement. He said, "We will never, 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 never give up." He said it 6 times. Never, never. Never say never, except never give up. Okay? Let's keep that in mind. Don't give up on people. Don't give up on praying for people, for precious souls. Don't give up on your family. God is doing perhaps a lot more through our prayers than what we realize. And I know that it doesn't seem to be that way sometimes. Sometimes we think that our prayers are in vain. We have prayed about it so many times. We say, "Lord, I don't know, it seems there's no progress, there's nothing happening." And I know it's frustrating because especially when you pray and about a person or especially about people, and it seems to get worse. And you ask yourself, is my prayer doing anything? Is it maybe hindering? Is it actually making things worse? Sometimes things get worse before they get better. Let's remember that. So don't give up on prayer. God has a way of working out things in your life that without prayer, it wouldn't mean the same. It wouldn't be the same. And with prayer, not giving up on prayer is we must not and should not and cannot, as believers, as Christians, give up on God's promises. For all of God's promises, the Bible says, are yea and amen in Him. He doesn't say nay, yea. His promises are yea and amen through Christ Jesus. Even though we don't see the results, even though we don't get what we prayed for, even though our dreams didn't come true, even though we are filled with disappointment, discouragement, all those D's, don't give up on God's promises. I will believe them no matter what happens. No matter if others say, "See, God didn't even do what He promised. God's not keeping your promises." This is what our forefathers, what Christians, what believers have gone through before our time. Nothing that happens to us has not happened before. It has happened to others too. And they held on to their promises. Sometimes we have certain dreams that we want to accomplish, things that we want to accomplish. We set goals. We believe that God gives us visions. God gives us direction. And then it doesn't happen the way that we expected. My word to you, to all of us this morning, is don't give up on God's promises. If not this, then something else. God is not bound to one thing. And just because we perceive a vision from God, that God has something for us, that we should accomplish this, and he steers us in that direction, and we go that direction, doesn't mean that we will actually, everything will just fall in place exactly as we had hoped for. Sometimes we have surprises on the way. Because, you know, in order for God to bless, he doesn't need a bulletin, right? I mean, he doesn't need a schedule. He doesn't need our advice. He is God. He's Lord. And it's in those difficult moments that we need to remind ourselves, no, I can't give up. I won't give up. But how do we do that? You may think right now, well, it's easy for you to stand up there and say, don't give up. But you know how I feel? You know that I feel like giving up right now? You know that I feel like giving up every day of the week? I'm almost 60 years old. I think I know a little bit about life, at least. But we don't have to give up. I want to paraphrase this psalm a little bit, Psalm 143. If you want to look at it, whatever translation you have there, it's okay. But the psalmist wrote in essence here, I am ready to give up, Lord. I'm in deep despair. I remember the days gone by. In other words, he looked back and thought, yeah, it's good to look back, but that's not happening presently. I had a great time with the Lord. It used to be wonderful. There used to be wonderful blessings there, but not right now. I think about all you've done. I bring to mind all your deeds. I lift up my hands in prayer to you. Like dry ground, my soul is thirsty for you. Answer me, Lord. I've lost all hope. I cannot see any hope. Remind me each morning of your constant love, for I put my trust in you. My prayers go up to you. Show me the way I should go. You are my God. Teach me to do your will. Be good to me and guide me on a safe path. This was his prayer. And you know what? Sometimes when you don't have the words to pray, go through the Psalms and read out loud those prayers. It has blessed me so many times. The first thing I want to bring out here is that the psalmist told God how he felt. He was not afraid of showing his emotions in his prayer. And it's those passionate prayers, these emotional prayers, that sometimes help us. And I would say those are the best counseling sessions you could possibly have, praying like the psalmist did. We often find it difficult to tell others, to tell each other how we really feel. If someone says, how do you feel? Well, what do you mean how I feel? And we become defensive and say, well, it's really not anybody's business how I feel. And some people say, well, don't tell me how to feel. Because, you know, someone tells us, you shouldn't feel that way. Yes. We should never say to another person, you shouldn't feel that way. I've learned that. Because you cannot tell anybody to feel or not to feel something. You can't even tell yourself what you feel and what you don't feel. Feelings are feelings. And oftentimes we can't control our feelings. And you can't tell yourself not to feel this way. Lord, why am I in distress? And you may pray that way. And the psalmist prayed in other places too. Lord, how long will I be so depressed and so down? How long my tears have been flowing over and over like fountains? The psalmist expressed his feelings. And it's good to express our feelings to God. It is okay to come before the Lord and tell the Lord, Lord, you know how I feel right now? And you can tell him. You can tell him either I feel really ticked off, or you can tell him, Lord, I feel you hurt me. Lord, I feel it feels like you did this on purpose. Tell God how you feel. It's okay, because he knows. It's when we turn our backs on God, if we resent him and we ignore him, that's when we get ourselves in trouble. But not by expressing our feelings to God. Pour out your heart and let your feelings go. In Lamentations chapter 2, verse 19. And this is one of the newer translation. Pour out your feelings to the Lord as you would pour water out of a jug. Just pour out all those emotions, all those negative emotions, all the frustrations. Take it to the Lord. It's not easy, is it? Because we feel like, how can I express my little bit of feelings against my Almighty God? He knows he has created everything. He's the highest majesty. We view him as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And how can I come to him with my little feelings? Oh, yes, you can. Because Jesus, remember him? Let's not forget him. He had tears. He had a lot of emotions when he was in Gethsemane. When he prayed in other instances, he agonized in his spirit. He had feelings. He understands you and me. Whenever we try to pour out our feelings to God, we always seem to take them back, right? But it is okay. This is how I feel, Lord, but I'm still holding on to them. Now, Lord, help me to let go of these negative feelings. Help me to let go of any accusation I have with you, because I know you are greater than I am. I know that your plan and your thoughts are higher than my thoughts, so I will accept this. But right now, I feel very distraught, and Lord, help me now and bring me through this dark valley of feelings. We shouldn't trust our feelings. We should trust God with our feelings. Okay? Let's distinguish that. Because emotions cannot always be trusted. But God's word and God himself, he can be. And we can pour out our emotions to God. You know, I like the German expression, wir können uns bei ihm aussprechen. We can really unload before the Lord. Psalm 34, verse 18, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Sometimes we go through that, this crushing experience that life has for us. We just can't understand. We don't have the answers. That is when we're crushed, when we don't have any answers anymore. When we're at the end of our human wisdom, when we don't know what to do anymore, how to respond to this situation. But God sees our broken heart. And he cares about every broken heart. Every broken heart. Now, the psalmist also sees God for who he really is. After he gets all these emotions out, he doesn't forget who God really is. He says in verse 5 and verse 8, I remember the days gone by. I think about all you have done. This is very important. Extremely important not to give up remembering all the things that God has done. And if we remember the things God has done in our lives and how he has helped us and how he has brought us to this day, to this hour, we have every reason never to give up, because he's done so much for us, right? And then he goes on, remind me each morning of your constant love, for I put my trust in you. God's love is not less for you today than it was in the past. God's love for you is not any less than for me or anybody else. God's love is constant, the Bible says. And therefore we can trust in him. He is bigger than our problems. He is indeed bigger than life. Bigger than anything we can imagine. He's bigger and greater and stronger than our enemies. Than all that could come to us. See, our relationship with God is based on faith. We live by faith, not by sight. And here's the tension, if you will. Here's the pressure, if you will. Here's human nature. We love to see things. We love to experience things. We love to experience real things. And here is God and all the promises, yet we have to apply faith in order to believe everything God has, even though we don't see it. We live by faith and not by sight. And this is the problem that we run into. And that's what we have to remind ourselves. The focus is that, and this is fact, God is bigger than any of my difficulties. To trust in the fact that God is bigger than my circumstance and my problems helps us to keep going. Helps us every day. If we say, Lord, I know I can put my trust in you because your love is constant for me. It's here today as it was yesterday. So today I will just cherish your love to me. No matter how I hurt, no matter what I go through, but I will cherish your love for me because it is greater and stronger than death. No reason to give up. One of the object lessons that the Bible gives us on not giving up is the life of an ant. Not Aunt Marie or Aunt Louise, no, the animal, ant. The ants that we don't like. But the Bible says several times that the ant is an object lesson for persistence. They work really hard. They are very persistent. They don't give up. They keep on going. And the Bible wants us to pay attention to nature, pay attention to these object lessons that are around us, even in nature, to help us to understand God's ways and to keep on going. In Daniel chapter 9, verse 4, it says, it's a prayer, O Lord, you're great and awesome God. You're a great and awesome God. You always fulfill your promises of unfailing love to those who keep your commands. Now, Daniel, he was in a waiting period. We say, oh yeah, you know, God called him and he was such a faithful guy and he had so much faith that even the lions couldn't touch him and all these miracles. But you know that all his life he was waiting for something. And that he actually never experienced the return of Israel to the promised land. He was waiting for that. He died in Babylon. He could not go back to Israel, but he waited for the 70 years and he waited and he was tuned in to God and he knew that at a certain time the promises of God would be fulfilled. For you and me the same. At a certain time, God's promises for you and me will be fulfilled. Now the third thing I want to bring out here in this psalm is that the psalmist trusted God for the next step that he was going to take. In verse 8, my prayers go up to you, O God. Show me the way I should go. In other words, he was picturing himself as standing and waiting and standing before the Lord and asking the Lord and saying, Lord, what is the next step that I should take? And I will wait here, Lord, until you show me the next step I should take. Because if you don't lead me, if you don't show me the next step, I'm staying right here where I am. I will not make this decision, or I will not be hasty in any way. I will trust you, but I will wait until you show me the next step. And sometimes we want to have the whole plan. We want to have the whole map, like how God will lead us through all these difficulties into heaven. We would like to actually have everything mapped out all the way to the day we die. But we can't have that. And God doesn't allow that. And God doesn't want us to. Because he wants us to live by faith day by day. He wants us to be sensitive when he shows us the next step, what to do next. That's all he requires. He said, now do this. And maybe one morning you wake up and you pray about a certain situation. You pray about a certain decision. And the Lord says, well, today I want you to just do this. Little part. That's all I asked you today. And tomorrow it may be the same thing. You may say, well, Lord, I did that yesterday. Why do I do the same thing over and over? Well, it's not the next step yet. He will lead you in his time. That's the beauty of serving and following the Lord. Sometimes we wait and wait and we say, Lord, I'll take the next step if you show me the whole plan. Want to make a deal with God, and God says, no, take the next step and I'll show you the next one and the next one. Because eventually we move on. In Psalm 142, verse 3, it says, when I am ready to give up, he knows what I should do. So when we are ready to give up, when we are ready to throw in the towel, God wants to show us what to do. And I can give you one example after another. Elijah, for example, did you know that he wanted to give up? He wanted to actually die. He hoped to die. He knew that committing suicide would be terrible, so he asked God to take his life. Lord, I want to die. I'm done. I'm finished. I give up. And the Lord said, oh, not yet. I have something better for you. And did he ever, right? So learn from Elijah. When I'm ready to give up, the Lord knows what I should do. The Holy Spirit gives us the prayers, the requests to pray certain ways about a situation. And it's very appropriate for us to ask God to show us through the Holy Spirit, Lord, I have prayed for this health issue. I have prayed for this situation many times. Show me what you want me to do in this situation and show me how you want to work this out to your glory and honor. Now, he may or may not do that all the time, but we can actually pray and ask God how he would like us to pray over that situation. Holy Spirit, lead me now to pray about this situation the way that it is in the will of God. So we depend on the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of comfort and the Spirit of wisdom and of love and of guidance and of grace. He is there to assist us. He is there to help us to call Abba Father, that He is our Father. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. These words don't mean that you ask once and then never ask again. It doesn't mean that you seek once and knock once and, well, you know, God didn't hear my prayers, so I just quit because He doesn't hear my prayers. No, it's a constant seeking, a constant searching, because prayer is not like a slot machine. You can't pull the handle and hope to hit the jackpot or something like that. That's not how prayer works. Prayer is a relationship. We can't have the attitude, well, I'll try God. I'll try prayer if nothing else works. Uh-oh, that's wrong. Prayer is a relationship. When we develop this relationship with the Father, and this is the problem. Listen to this. A Newsweek poll once was done on prayer. And it said that 87% of Americans said that God answers prayer, but only 25% of those people pray every day. Can you believe that? 87% says, yes, God answers prayer, but do they really believe it then? Only 25% pray? Something is wrong there. It's a lack of faith, in my opinion. Well, I think the attitude often is, we believe God answers prayer, but will God answer my prayer? Does He actually listen to my personal prayer? My little burdens that I have, does He care that much? Yes, He does. According to His word, He does. The fourth thing that the psalmist does here, and it's very clear, and that's simply trusting God. Why is trusting God often so hard? It's good in good days. I mean, it's pretty easy to trust God when everything goes well and, you know, we're in good health and we have income and outcome and we have, everything functioning properly, our daily routines. Good to trust God then. But what if life throws us a curve, and what if a wave is coming our way like Peter? You know, Peter, he walked on water and it was wonderful. I mean, I never experienced that. I mean, he experienced something miraculous. And then he saw this wind coming, this wave coming, and he started to doubt. And Jesus says, oh, you have little faith. And I thought Peter had a big faith. Wouldn't you agree? Peter had a big faith that he walked on water in the first place. He was bold, right? And oftentimes when we think we're so bold and we're so confident and then this wave comes and it just hits us like, we're like, whoa, I didn't expect that. You know, God is not surprised when these waves hit us. He wants us to trust Him. He's been faithful in the past. And so we trust Him for strength. We trust Him that when we are unable to go on, that God will then start to guide us, to teach us, to show us His way. And if we're willing to take the next step, just the next step, and it may be a baby step, right? But just willing to take that next step that God is showing us, He will then continue to lead us because He has promised. And this is for your and my comfort and encouragement. God has promised never to leave you nor forsake you. God helps those that trust in Him. The Lord is my shield and my strength. I trust in him, and he helps me. Psalm 28, verse 7. So we act out of trust or out of distrust. We act out of faith or out of unbelief. We act either way. And my desire is to act in faith and in trust. A couple of more things about the Apostle Paul. Do you know that the Apostle Paul often felt like giving up? Look at all the things he suffered. I mean, his body beaten and traveling and all the stress and the agony and the enemies and the resistance and the persecution and all of those things he went through. So he says in 2 Corinthians 1 verse 9, we felt like we'd been sent to death or to death row, as one translation says. And it was all over for us. That's what we felt like. As it turned out, it was the best thing that could have happened. Instead of trusting in our own strength or wits to get out of it, we were forced to trust in God totally. Not a bad idea, since he's the one who raises the dead. He's still God. He's still the one that knows every move we make. In chapter 4, verse 8 in 2 Corinthians, Paul says, we are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed and broken. We are perplexed, but we don't give up and we don't quit. What a wonderful encouragement. And I say this, if others could do that, we can too. We don't have to give up. Don't give up in prayer. Don't give up trusting God. Don't give up on people. Don't give up on the church. Give up sin. Give up anything that hinders you to trust the Lord. But never, never give up following Christ. The Lord bless you. Amen.